We're alive and in person once again. Captain finally returned my shuttle to me. So he is back here in the studio. Well, he's somewhere.
Guys, I was there. I was up there. Remember yesterday at the convention? Those people dressed like aliens? They were aliens. They were termites or Dalmatians. I can't really remember because I was kind of hungover.
I believe there's a hero in all of us.
You have great powers, only some of which you have yet discovered.
I'm a superhero,
a real life superhero.
The world needs extraordinary. We'll make you a superhero.
Are you ready to become a hero?
Initiating surprise in three.
This,
two,
is
one.
The Real Brian Show.
Welcome to The Real Brian Show. The place to wait, no, Captain, wait, but I gotta show you these aliens that they were termites. Anyway, the place to end the week on a positive note, nerd out with us, have fun, maybe learn a few things to better your life, and in general, escape all of the negative crap around us. And you know what else is really amazing is a termite, because termites are amazing aliens. I love these people, and we are from the Kleptoon Nebula, and we need to rock it. Yes!
Woo!
Yes!
Yes!
Yeah! Yeah!
Yes!
Yes!
Awesome! What is this music?
I don't know about it. Sounds retarded. Wait, did I just say that? Sorry.
Is this like Nelson? Hey, welcome to The Real Brian Show.
Oops.
Oh, yeah, you're not allowed to... I'm sorry. I didn't even think about that anymore. You know what's so funny is, like, I feel like every word is off limits.
Not every word.
And, yeah, well, that's true, because Let's Rock It is it's a phrase, but it's not a flick. It's going to eventually be off limits, though.
You know, you just never know,
the
dude.
The rocks will be offended.
You never know.
I know.
How do I sound? Do I sound good?
You sound amazing.
Okay, great.
Because, yeah. So thanks for bringing the shuttle back.
Again.
Yeah, you've taken... I mean, I couldn't find it for the months, and then you're like, well, I have it.
Well, basically, I have my own keys, so yeah. You didn't intend for me to have my own keys, but I made a copy...
Yeah.
And so I just kind of come and borrow whenever you want, because you never use the thing.
I use it all the time.
Oh.
I tried, but I couldn't. I've been kind of stuck here for a while. So,
oh, well, I guess every time I've wanted to borrow it, it was always just sitting there. And so I figured you never used it.
Well, it's because usually I'm on the show and that's when you borrow it. And then later it's like, hey, I want to go for a flight, or, you know, I want to head out to, like, I don't know, Brazil.
Dude, you know our buddy Up To Later, right?
Yeah.
He's got a Tesla S. And
I got a Tesla.
Drove me around in it while I was here.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, when it's not the fastest model, but when he hits that accelerator, you know, I can do that. My point is, I can do that in your shuttle without worrying about other drivers.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I do. I get my speed fix in your shuttle. That's why I borrow it all the time.
See, the difference between the Tesla and my shuttle is that when you accelerate, my shuttle has inertial dampeners, and so you don't feel it. You just feel like, oh, you know, we just went from like zero to warp 10 and you become a lizard. Or you could go to zero to warp 9, but you don't feel it. But when you accelerate, you know, zero to 60 in a Tesla, you feel it. So maybe Tesla, hey, Elon, dude, I know you listen to the show. You need to work on inertial dampeners and what you're going to do when the battery dies, so we don't have to just throw a bunch of cars, you know, over to China or in space or something.
Let me say something. Maybe you don't know this, but I turn the inertial dampeners off when I steal your shuttle so that I get the rush, because I want that speed rush, but I don't want to hit anybody.
Yeah.
So I just turn the inertial dampeners off. Okay. And that has bitten me in the butt a couple times, but...
You're strong. I mean, you're a strong man to be able to handle that kind of, you know, G-force.
True.
That's true. Hey, Captain.
What?
Y'all know what day it is?
That's what.
Thank God it's Friday.
That's what I'm talking about.
Happy Friday.
I love me a Friday.
Thank God it's Friday. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what else today is? Is it's bath day for me, so...
Know anybody with a pair of strong young hands to help me in and out of the tub?
But anyway... Dude, I'm so glad you're back in person. We're alive, which is good. Better than being dead. Speaking of being dead, though, Liquid Death.
I wanted to high five my buddy Caffeinatrix.
Oh, but okay. Before we talk about Liquid Death, because, you know, being dead and alive. But
Yeah. I went to, so, hey, Caffeinatrix, high five.
Hey, thanks, Tony.
I just actually did it. You can't see it, but I actually high-fived you. So, hey.
Did you like my impression of Caffeinatrix? Hey, Tony.
That was no, so bad. No, you sound kind of like Herbert.
I can't do it. Apparently, my Caffeinatrix impression is lacking.
Failed. Yeah, it's a fail.
Lacking. But, you know, Caffeinatrix and I talked about Liquid Death back in the day. And this was like a few weeks ago now. I by the way, we missed a week last week, which was fine. We had 5 weeks in May. I only wanted to do 4 weeks. So, you know, there it is. But we talked about Liquid Death and Bentastic was like, well, dude, I want to talk about Liquid Death or something. So anyway, he had a...
Hey, Bentastic here. I really enjoyed the conversation last week around the sparkling water.
3 weeks ago.
I had an interesting journey with that in 2022. I decided to go the entire year without sugar. That was my only dietary restriction, and actually was able to lose just over 20 pounds from doing that.
That's it?
But that's a lot, actually. Look into, sugar, though. almost every brand of sparkling water that's readily available up here, and I tried a lot of different ones. And it's kind of interesting. Some are really not so great. Others are better, but I kind of found it interesting as I went through the year and had more and more sparkling waters, and it was longer since I had these soft drinks with tons and tons of sugar in it, which really enhances the flavor. But I found I was enjoying them more and more as the year went on. And also, I was just really enjoying, I think most of all, just the unflavored, just standard San Pellegrino sparkling water.
That's got minerals in it, though.
But yeah, definitely something I enjoyed doing. And you can drink a whole lot of it and enjoy it, and it's zero calories, so can't complain.
Booyah! Boom. Yeah, you know, I agree.
Hey, I don't mean to disparage Bentastic's weight loss either. I just if I went a year without any sugar, I would lose all the weight.
Well, you got to understand, too, that Bentastic wasn't really that big to begin with.
Oh, okay.
I think he was pretty thin to begin with. So I think for some, because, you know, and granted, Ben and I have never met in person, but we're hoping to change that this summer. And I'm hoping that Martin, AKA The Flash, AKA Cyber Ren, AKA, I forgot his other name that he's going by now too. I'm getting honestly confused, but the reality is that we're all trying to meet up, and, you know, they're in Calgary.
Oh yeah.
Both of them are. And we're thinking like, well, what if we like all met up in Glacier National Park, you know, Northern Montana. Yeah. So anyway, we're looking at that. That's something I'm nerding out on. But I was going to say back to Bentastic, because I've never seen him in person, but we've done some video. We were in a mastermind together, actually, or something like that, actually, a long time ago. So I've seen him in video and I'm like, he's a thin dude. So I think for a thin dude to lose 20 pounds, that's pretty impressive, massive. Actually.
Yeah. Kudos, Ben.
Yeah. If you look like Ellie from... you know, Borderlands.
Oh, then, I thought you were going to say from Last of Us.
Oh, no. I'm talking about from Borderlands, Ellie from Borderlands, man. If you look like her now, 20 pounds, you're not even going to see a dent in her. I mean, it might look like a dimple or something in her cheek. That would be about it.
Yeah. And I don't
that
know if she
girl
could,
was huge. Man.
I don't think she could cut 20 pounds or cut sugar out of her diet.
No,
that would work.
Hey there, sweetie. Sugar boot.
Sugar boot.
Oh my gosh, dude. Speaking of Borderlands, the movie.
Oh yeah.
So we played the games.
Yes.
We played them. What? I played Borderlands 1 a long time ago, but
long time ago.
Played 2 and 3 and then Tiny Tina's Wonderlands and all that. One of my favorite, by the way, I did not know this, but I realized that the girl that voiced Tina is actually one of the main actresses in Mythic Quest, that TV show.
Really?
Yeah, she's the... so I'm just getting into it, so I can't even remember the girl's name yet. I'm just watching it, but she's the gamer with the really cool hair.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have got to check that out now.
I was like, what? And she doesn't sound anything like it, but man, she can do some sweet voices.
That's funny.
What's funny, though, is that she had I think it was a YouTube channel or something that she did for a while, and she was crazy. And I guess her natural personality is very Tina-like. So she was the perfect role for Tina. And so, which begs the question, why isn't she playing Tina in the upcoming Borderlands movie?
Yeah.
Really? Because she's an actress too.
But how is it an age thing? Because Tina's very young.
She can make herself look youngish.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but you could do. Here's the thing.
Is she tiny? Because Tina's kind of tiny.
She's shortish, but the girl that's playing Tina is the girl that played young Ahsoka in the Ahsoka series, the Star Wars series.
Interesting.
Which is an absolutely terrible fit, by the way. Nothing against this girl, because she played a perfect young Ahsoka. She was perfect.
Well, haven't we heard bad things about the Borderlands show?
Well, so it's a movie coming out this summer.
A movie, yeah.
Yeah, and the games were brilliant, genius. Of course. There were so many things that made the games what they made them. And I watched the preview and I was like, this is not Borderlands. And then Johnny and I, when we went to a movie, we watched the preview and both of us looked at it. And Johnny's response was, they totally missed the entire point of Borderlands. And this is just the preview.
Yeah. See, so how does Fallout, how do they make Fallout into such a pretty decent Fallout show? And yeah, and they can't, they being different company, obviously can't make the same thing out of Borderlands.
Well, because Borderlands is insane. And Tiny but, Tina is very politically incorrect. And so they had to make a PC version of her, which I think is crap because she's not in any way. The lines that she said and the character, I'm like, yeah, you're not Tina. You're some, I'm sorry. Like, I don't even know.
Not our problem. Luckily.
I mean, I'll watch it. We but still have the game. It's sad, man. It's sad. Yeah. That's and then, so you remember, was it Roland? Roland, you know, yeah, like a Mr. T, big muscular black man,
crazy dude. Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
Who do you think they intense. Got to play that? You would think like The Rock Carl? Or somebody like, or Carl, Lord Thunder. Yeah. Kevin Hart, dude.
No, they
yes,
didn't.
Yes, they did. He's like,
that doesn't make any sense
exactly,
at all.
Exactly. That's my whole point. Like all of the characters, they make no sense whatsoever. Wow. And okay.
Wait, what company's making it? Do you know? Is it Disney?
Disney.
Oh, well, that's why.
I think it's Disney, isn't it?
If it's Disney, that's why.
Yeah, it's not. Now I need to look because I think it's Disney.
They've got their heads so far up.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Where that,
exactly. Yeah. Although they did make Andor. I'm just saying.
I know.
And whenever they let Dave Filoni do anything, it works out. So. Yeah.
I could swear it was Disney. Now I'm not sure. I don't know. I got to look it up now, but
some listeners are like, dude,
it's not Disney, man. It's not at
that
all.
That happens to us a lot.
I feel like it. I could swear that I saw it brought to you by Disney and I was like, what? Borderlands?
No,
not even close. But okay. The producers of Uncharted, Spider-Man and Venom. Lionsgate. Maybe it isn't Disney then. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong here. No, it's Lionsgate.
Okay.
Either way. See? Jack Black is playing Claptrap, which is fine, but the reality is Claptrap is still a voice only. So why not just get the original voice actor? Because dadgummit, he was perfect. No offense. I love Jack Black, but get the original.
You could have saved a ton of money by not having Jack Black play Claptrap. So what?
Yeah,
they've got that five times fast.
Fast.
Jack Black, yeah. Black, crap.
Jack Black, Claptrap.
Claptrap, crap.
Claptrap with Jack Black.
Jeez.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in it and Kate Blanchett is playing what's her name?
It sounds like they spent way too much money on actors.
Yeah, it's I don't know.
When they could have made a much better movie with making it Borderlands, you know?
I hope you know how previews always show like the best part of the movie?
You would like to think they did.
Yeah, I hope that in this case, it's like the worst part of the movie and we are blown away by the actual movie itself because
they might pull a Matrix, yes.
Yeah. I don't know, dude. But so later on, I do want to talk about, speaking of video games made into TV shows, Halo season 2.
Yes, we have to.
Yeah. So we'll get into that. And I apologize in advance. My take on the season was nothing like yours.
Yeah, that's fine.
So it'll
be
interesting to get into. But okay, so let's get back to what we're not, man.
Shuttles
and we were talking Liquid Death. Caffeinatrix. I want to try Liquid Death still. Well, we can always talk about Caffeinatrix. And then K-Dubs. You know, you haven't been on since K-Dub's been on. What did you think of K-Dub's on the show?
I love K-Dub's. I just want to take this opportunity to say that. Didn't I say that last time I was on too? No,
because you were before her.
I was before her? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, no, she's such a great addition to your hostage.
Hostage?
Yeah.
Hostaging?
And I'm really excited about ProfitCast and I can't wait to keep listening to it. And yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you'll really get much out of ProfitCast because it's all about podcasting.
But I'm still going to listen.
Oh, well, yeah. It is entertaining. The conversation so far, because we've already recorded, 8 or 9 episodes of ProfitCast.
You guys have really good chemistry and so, yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to meet her someday. Hopefully we'll be in studio together one of these days.
I've never met her in person yet.
So
that'd be fun. Well, ProfitCast, FYI, by the way, for those of you who do want to listen again, it relaunches on June 4th. So make sure to check that one out. Actually, that's next week.
And you guys have already you're going to have a whole bunch of episodes under your belt
already
at the launch, which is how you do it.
Yeah, we're going to launch with 3 again. And then we've got 5 weeks in advance, which is exactly what we want. And then we're going to come up with a potentially cool concept for videos on YouTube that we're not going to, we thought about this, the idea, because we've tried this on the Real Brian Show, mm-hmm. recording the show, the podcast on video, and then putting it up on YouTube.
Well, yeah, we did that for a couple of years.
We did it. We were just like, and then she and I started doing it. We're like, what if we just do the audio podcast, but then create these little short video ideas? And the concept that we came up with, one other channel's done it. And so it's sort of an homage to that channel.
Okay.
And they're very successful, that channel, but it's a different story, but they've got like 4 million followers. I don't think our channel is going to get that, but
you never know.
The concept works and we're going to try something with it. And so it'll be a companion to the podcast, not the podcast. So it'll be fun, but yeah, it's fun. It's been, you know what I think what I've been surprised about, because Martin, speaking of Martin, the Flash.
Hey Martin.
He was so funny. He's like, okay. He sends me this voice message. I'm confused. First, you're not doing the Real Brian show anymore. You're upset. You're frustrated. Nobody's doing, you know, and then the next thing you know, you're out every week again. And I'm like, that's, you're literally as confused as I am, because 2 months ago I came to you and said, I miss doing this show. I may have not even been, I've been like a month and a half ago. Even I miss doing the show.
And I was like, what show?
Yeah. What show? The Real Brian show. You know, the show that you stole shuttle from, you know? So I said, what do you think about coming back and doing it, you know, once a month or whatever? And you're like, well, I don't know. And so you went and thought about it. And I was thinking, I'm like, I don't know. Okay. Let's just try once a month and see. And then you said, okay, cool. Let's try it. Then Caffeinatrix, which I think I hadn't really heard from her for multiple months.
Yeah.
Came back and said, hey, I'd like to do once a month. And I was like, really? Oh my gosh.
Really?
Really? Like, I went up like 6 octaves, you know?
Totally.
And then I was like, dude, so this will be like 2 episodes a month. This is exciting. And then K-Dubs and I started doing some stuff with ProfitCast, and I was like, she's good. Like, yeah. I wonder if she'd do a Real Brian show episode. So I asked her and she's like, heck yes, I will.
Heck yes.
Heck yes, I will. And so then I said, well, why don't you come on? And then she goes, she loved it. And I said, well, how often would you like to do it? Every week. And I said, well, okay, awesome. And we've got other people too. So that's why we've had, you know,
yeah, it's at this just point, kind of 3 to 4 episodes a week.
Yeah, it's just, it kind of just worked out, but it all literally worked out within the last month. So
a freaking 12 gauge. What do you think?
God. What are you going to do today, Napoleon? Whatever I feel like. Gosh. I think that should be the, what are you going to talk about on the Real Brian show this week? Whatever we feel like. Gosh.
So idiot.
I just want to shout out to you, Captain.
Hi.
To Caffeinatrix and to K-Dubs for joining me and bringing the show back from the dead. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. It's I always have fun doing it. I just was, you know, I was like you. I was getting a little burnt out and
yeah,
coming up with origins every week. And yeah. And deep thoughts. I mean, I'm not a deep thinker, Brian, so yeah. It's kind of hard.
It's, well, I'm not either. And once in a while I get into a deep thought and a deep thinking situation and I get into a good conversation. And then literally I'm just at a specific moment in the conversation, usually not too far into it. I'm like, okay, well, see you later. And I'm ready to go do fun things again, you know, and activities.
But we always have fun doing the show. That's the irony of it.
Yeah.
I mean, we love it. Every single episode is fun. There's never been a single episode I've been on that I was like, oh, I'm so glad that's over. That's never happened.
I think the biggest thing that I've learned from this, and this is something that we've learned from podcasting in general too, is that my love and passion is talking and getting behind the microphone. I don't love all the excessive planning, you know? So it's more of a, here's a show note document, write something down. If you have something to share, great. You don't want to forget about it. Other than that, let's just shoot the spit.
Hit record and see what happens.
Yeah. Hit record and see what happens and have a good time. And speaking of shooting the spit, by the way, we went to an alpaca farm last week. Now I knew llamas spit.
Well, and then camel spit.
Yeah. I didn't know that alpacas spit, but apparently they do.
They are all related too.
So. Yeah. So alpacas have like this more like, it's more of a,
kind of like a Quebec thing.
Yeah. It's the funniest thing. Cause I didn't know what it looked like, but you'll hear like this, you know,
well, that like, sounds just like a camel.
Yeah. I'm like, watch out. Thank you. That was really good.
I don't want to spit on your mics.
But what's funny is they didn't spit on us, but they spit on each other. And it's more of a, it's more of a coughing spit. So whatever's in their mouth versus the regurgitation that comes from their stomach. Yeah, exactly. Like exactly. That? But it's more of a like that.
Like I use that as an excuse to clear my throat. That was pretty clever.
But before you do it, start doing it and then cough. Then you'll really freak somebody out.
I don't have to cough anymore. I finished.
Oh, okay. So a couple of the males were cough spitting at each other because they were, you know, showing dominance and stuff.
Huh.
Dude, alpacas are weird. I got to tell you.
Apparently.
I think one of them had the coolest underbite. Like
the coolest
big time, like reverse cool buck underbite. Oh my gosh. Like it stuck straight up.
Like a dork fish?
Exactly. And
I'm
so,
a dork fish. And
his eyes,
a corn dog.
His eyes were more like a goat's eyes on the side of his head versus like most alpacas have their eyes right in the front and they're very symmetrical.
Really?
And then they have this very cute looking kind of camel face. This guy, his were more to the side, and he had this massive underbite sticking out of his lips. His alpaca lips,
so he's like an Anya Taylor-Joy alpaca.
Exactly, but he looked like he was smiling the whole time. It was just like you walk up and he's like, he looks so happy. His ears were back. He's smiling. But I got to tell you, so this woman, it's an alpaca. Well, it's a farm with all kinds of different animals too. They had potbelly pigs too, but they had two llamas, one female, one male, and the female llama was just shorter than me. And these are tall animals, but, and so she put her head right up into my face. And it's like, literally just like nose stuck right up in my face. I'm going to tell you what, I almost bit her nose off. It was pretty good, but it was really funny.
Did she give you a kiss?
Well, no, it was the funniest thing. Like she didn't actually, cause I was afraid she was going to spit or lick me. And
or
I'm like,
bite your face off.
She just sat there and just stared right into my eyes.
Interesting.
And just stayed there. For quite some time. It was really cool.
I think it might be true love, Brian.
True love, man. True love. Yep. With this llama. And her name was the Dalai Lama.
The Dalai as in D-O-L-L-Y. Yeah.
Isn't that
llama,
precious?
That's awesome.
Yeah. That was a cool name. There are some good names actually, but man, I got to tell you.
I'm still stuck thinking of Anya Taylor-Joy as a llama.
Alpaca.
Alpaca.
With an underbite.
With an underbite.
Yeah. Anya Taylor-Joy with an underbite.
Speaking of Anya Taylor-Joy, guess what we're going to go see on Tuesday?
Yeah, dude. Furiosa. Finally. Been talking about this for a while.
I can't wait.
Does she have an underbite in Furiosa?
Definitely not.
Oh, dang it.
But she kind of looks exactly like she did in Dune 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much exactly.
I wonder what she's going to be like in this movie because I really loved her in that was it 10 Cloverfield Lane?
Was that the one that she was in with John Goodman?
Wait, nope, that's not right. She was in Split. I'm sorry.
Split.
Wrong movie.
I don't remember her in that, and I didn't
Mary
see
Elizabeth
Split,
Winstead.
So, okay. Yeah.
My bad. Sorry, mad scientist. Kill me for that one.
Whatever reason, I could stare at Anya Taylor-Joy's face, not because I'm just like gaga for her or anything. It's just, she has such a unique look just because her eyes are so far, but she looks like an alien. Yeah. Except not as off-putting as like, what was her name from Fallout?
That
Fallout Elle had Purnell. A tendency. Yeah, Elle Purnell. Yeah, she's awesome. No offense, but they did a lot of close-ups on her face. And you remember every time they did that, I was like, okay, back off.
I was
back
like, zoom in. That's funny. Well, so Anya Taylor-Joy in Split, by the way, I loved Split. That was my favorite of the three. Her eyes weren't that pronounced. They looked more symmetrical kind of in the front of her face. And I feel like as she's aged,
she's had work done.
They've moved to the right or a little bit to the left. And you know, her bone structure has become more pronounced. And so I don't know if that's as she's aged or if she's had plastic surgery.
No,
I don't know.
I think she's an extraterrestrial and she's gradually revealing her true look.
The meat
sack. So that it's not surprising.
Yeah. You know, like when aliens, this is like Men in Black, when they take, what do they call them? Skinwalkers?
Yeah.
Where they kill the person and then they take the skin off of the human and then they wear it. Yeah, well, this is also...
maybe.
Yeah. You know, that they're called skinwalkers. Anyway, so it's like that. She put on the skin suit, the Egger suit, you know, from Men in Black.
Yeah.
And it's starting to droop a little bit. And so she had to get it pulled back. Tightened up. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's a good hypothesis, Brian. I like that.
Speaking of sugar and water earlier that Ben was talking about, there you go. Yeah. That's where all the sugar water is going. So we know that Ben is not an alien because he's not drinking sugar water.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's good.
And he can touch water because we know from Signs that aliens can't get near water. So,
fun fact about that. Do you know that Sarah leaves water out all the time? After dinner, like she just literally forgets to put water back in the kitchen or finish the, it's literally half glasses of water randomly around the condo. And I was like, why are you doing that? And she's like, I don't know. And I was like, for the aliens. So that if they come in, we could take a baseball bat to them and we can kill them just like in Signs.
Yeah.
She's never seen Signs, but now she knows.
She should. It's worth a watch at least once.
Freaky movie, dude.
It's okay.
I watched it. And then that night drove a friend home and there was a barn in the moonlight in the dark that we dropped him off at. And I looked up and I was like, I could see the alien crouched up there going, I mean, it's just like,
you just gotta remember, Brian, it's not real. They're just not there. I'm not saying aliens aren't there. What? I'm just saying the ones from Signs aren't there. You don't have to be. You don't have to be freaked out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you don't have to be freaked out. It's okay.
Ooh, okay. It's okay. No, really. I've seen them.
No, it's okay.
You want to know what else I've been nerding out on?
I have to know what else you're nerding on.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, camping and road trips, because I talked about meeting up with Ben Tastic and, you know, the Flash later, which I hope we do. But I've also been nerding out on talent, musical talent on YouTube. Somebody, I don't remember who it was, introduced me to DJ Cumberbund on YouTube. And he does all those really awesome mashups. There's a lot of mashup people out there, but he's one of them.
Okay.
I found a few new ones. And at one point, I think one of the mashups included 10 different songs almost at the same time. It was amazing. Huh. So I love that. And then
are they mashup videos? Does he
does some music videos and stuff like that, but it's mostly about the actual song, okay. But he does use the videos too.
Okay.
So it's mostly for the song. And like he took, Down With The Sickness by Disturbed.
Uh-huh.
That what I can't do it. You know, that thing that he does in the beginning of that. And he replaced it with the mana mana. So that was a good one. And that was really, anyway, he's done some really amazing stuff. So because I've been watching a lot of that, then YouTube's been suggesting other random musical stuff.
Right.
And they suggested this YouTube channel called Ellen Plays Bass. And
is it Ellen Purnell?
Ella. No. Oh, Ellen. Well, so she is currently 9 years old.
Oh, okay.
And so when the channel came out, I think she was 6. Holy crap, dude.
Play like a Les Claiborne.
Wow. It's amazing. So
like Geddy Lee,
I think the video that was originally suggested was when she was 6 years old. And I listened to it and was just like, what? This girl is amazing. And now that she's 9 and all that,
she could be the next Jane Wiedlin.
Oh my gosh. She has had, now granted her dad is a musician and he's done a lot in the music industry and all. So I think she's had a lot of, let's put it that way, connections. So she has had a chance to play with Steve Vai, pretty sure Joe Satriani, a couple of other really amazing musicians, you know.
I gave Steve Vai bunny ears once. Anyway.
Nice, dude. Yeah. A little photobomb?
Yep.
I love it.
Backstage in London in 2000, yeah.
Nice.
I got to take a picture of Steve Vai and gave him bunny ears.
I love it.
I asked him if I could.
So he said yes. This 9-year-old girl plays with a School of Rock type group. It's not called that, but it's something like Rock Kids or something like that. Anyway, they did a cover of Muse Hysteria.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, it was better than Muse.
Oh, really?
It was amazing. And like one of the electric Muse guitarists is like this 6-year-old, you know, kid and the chick drummer, you know, kid drummer that was amazing.
They're all like under 10?
Well, no, I think the singer was probably in her teenage years.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She had an incredible voice too, but I think I had to watch that video 3 or 4 times because I was like, is this real? This is so good. So anyway, I've been really, really nerding out on just exceptional talent when it comes to music. And apparently so is Ben Tastic because he sent another. We'll play another one for him.
Overachiever.
Hey, Brian, Ben Tastic here.
Again,
Lindsey Sterling released an amazing song just a couple months ago called The Eye of the Untold Her.
Yeah. It's
really cool. I love the bass beat that it's got throughout it. And it's got a lot of other things that just make your brain tingle, as one of my colleagues says.
Your brain tingle? Okay.
One of my oldest daughters has really gotten into the epic music genre, and I'd almost say she's kind of gotten into this subgenre of, I would say, epic orchestral rock.
Yes,
that's official Lindsey Sterling, right?
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
I'll be hopefully coming up. I'll share a bunch of songs to kind of add to the playlist for everybody to enjoy. But one song that comes to mind, kind of along this tone, is Lindsey Sterling's cover of Kashmir.
Oh yeah.
It is really, really good. So I recommend everyone check that one out.
We put that in actually, Bentastic. I'm kind of offended you didn't remember this, but the 2023 TRBS playlist, we talked about it last year. So
yeah, you're so 2000 and late, Ben.
No, you know what though? I appreciate the reminder because I do listen to a lot of Lindsey Sterling and she's come out with some new stuff even since then too. So I'm just glad your daughter's getting into it, Ben. That's amazing. So thank you for that. Keep sending the stuff over. But either way, you know what I may do is just put it into the 2024 mix also just because it's new. And yeah, sure. It's a new, you know, whatever. I wish I had recordings of the this Ellen plays bass stuff, but I don't think it's on Spotify, so I don't think I can do that. And neither is DJ Cumberbund. So you have to go to YouTube for those, but whatever.
Well, you know, I have a bit of a crush on Lindsey Stirling, so.
Oh yeah, yeah. Absolutely. You know what? How about this? How about I throw in the throwback of Disturbed, Down With The Sickness, because why the heck not?
Menominat.
Yeah. Wah! I can't do it. it's probably a good thing I can't do that. You know what else I'm going to throw back? How about this? Let's do you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it next week. I'm going to do a throwback every single week, I think, from here on out that we're on the show, because it's fun to pull up old music that you're just like, dude, here's a throwback from 1965, or this one's Disturbed is 2000. There you go. There's our 2000 throw. You know, if you're less than 24 years old, you weren't even born when that song came out.
You're talking like me now.
I've been talking to, you know how many episodes I've recorded of podcasts today? It's just out of control right now. Let's talk Halo.
Please. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to hear your opinion on it.
Let's hear yours first.
Well, okay. So I'm going to be pretty succinct about my opinion. I thought I thought season two was quite good. I really geeked out on the last episode a lot.
Nice.
I thought that the, how spoilery can we get?
Let's say it's as spoilery as possible at this point, but without giving too much away, because I'm going to spoil some stuff too. So, like, FYI.
Okay, so I won't do too bad. Like the fight, a lot of the fight scenes were, especially with the Covenant, were just amazing. I thought that they did a really good choreographic job of. I thought they did a good job of choreographing the CG fight scenes.
Yeah,
between the Covenant and anyone, just I thought the character development was decent. The end was what made the whole season worth it.
Totally.
Was the last episode.
Yeah.
And I thought they did a really good job of it. I was super excited. I'm not a huge Halo guy, you know. I played the original game, but that's it. Mm-hmm. So I haven't played really much Halo for the last 20 years. And so I was very happy with it. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
But I want to hear what you thought.
Well, so I should preface with the fact that the Halo series is in my top 5 of games.
Okay. Yep.
I don't think I've played Halo 5. Actually, I haven't had access to that one. Halo 1 was life-changing for me. Mm. The story in that game was amazing. The gameplay in that game was amazing. Like
it was really ahead of its time.
Yeah, and I have some very strong, happy and incredible memories from playing that game with multiple different types of friends over the years.
Me too. You can still play Halo now and it looks good.
Well, they've got a remastered version. Yeah, the Master Chief. And if it's kind of funny, if you go back and forth, they've really done a lot of nice work on it.
Okay.
You know what we ought to do? The Master Chief Collection goes on sale for like $5 to $10.
It's always on sale.
It's co-op, dude. We should play through those.
Yeah.
Because you missed out on a lot of those. And they've got them all the way at least up through Halo 4, I think. But Halo 1 was incredible to me. It was just one of the best games I've ever played ever. And the story was incredible. Halo 2 was okay. It was good, but it was so much exposition on the story that it was almost overwhelming, but it was still really good. Halo 3 was phenomenal, and it really brought a lot of the background and stuff in. Then Halo Reach came out.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah.
To me, Halo Reach was the best story of the whole series.
Okay.
And that right there was, in my opinion, one of the best video game stories ever told.
Cool.
And then Halo 4 came out, not as good, but still fun to play.
Wait, but then like said, what is Halo? Is there a Halo 5. Infinite?
I've not played that one either. I'm not sure.
Is that
about
correct,
that.
Though? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Okay. I think so. This is where I'm prefacing this, because to me, Halo 1 and Halo Reach were so good. Like, the stories were so good that it's kind of like, okay, if they're going to make a TV show out of this, they've got two options. Either do like a prequel / tell a different story kind of thing. Or keep it the same, because if you, or make it better, I guess, let's say that's option 3. If you're going to try to improve on the story of Halo 1 and Halo Reach, it's got to be dang good, because there's no reason to break that story unless you've got a better idea. The problem was they didn't. And so the story in season 1 and season 2 of Halo is just like that. The episode of Reach, by the way.
Yeah.
That was episode 4 of season 2. It was just meh compared to the game. The game's story was so good. Like, and I'll say this much, because this is not really a spoiler at all for the show, but the whole point of Halo Reach was Halsey was developing essentially the secret that was going to turn the tide of the war between the humanity and the Covenant. And basically the whole point was Reach is probably going to be overtaken, just like in the show, but you had to save this secret at all costs. Mm. This was literally like humanity's hope, and that was it. And so you're working your butt off and everything else. And I don't even want to tell you what, I'll tell you because it doesn't, I don't know if it'll spoil the game or not.
Probably not.
But the reality was, it turns out that it was Cortana. That was the whole point of Reach. That was why secret. They sacrificed the planet, was to save Cortana, because she was humanity's hope. They did not do anything like that in the show. And I was like, well, that was just like, in my opinion, Cortana was a complete disappointment in the series because she was just there.
Yeah.
And
well, but she had a pretty decent, I mean, she interacted a lot. She had a lot of dialogue and but interaction.
She didn't have any interaction or purpose until Master Chief like reaches the Halo.
Okay.
Then she has her whole story, and Reach was a flashback.
Wait, but no, but he reaches the Halo like at the end.
Yeah.
No, after almost at the end.
So Cortana's story, according to the games, doesn't start until the end of season 2.
Oh,
see, is what I'm
she's,
saying.
And she's in it in the series. She's in it exactly. A lot before that.
And that's my whole point, is that okay. She was just kind of there. But the whole point of the video games was that was Halsey's great experiment.
Okay.
Was Cortana. She did, you know, she created the Spartans as well, but she sacrificed herself when Reach went down. She died in the game, and you save Cortana and you get it to the Pillar of Autumn, which, by the way, was like a pivotal ship in the video games, and it wasn't even in the show at all, which was a huge disappointment.
Yeah, you know what? I can see.
And that was Keys, too.
If you were also very lore-oriented for Halo, I understand now why you had a disappointment about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because I didn't have that background. So coming into it blind,
yeah,
it was a lot. I just didn't know any better. So it was a lot better for me.
Well, and that's the thing. I feel like if you never watched the video, or if you've never played the video games, then you're going to like the story. It's fun. But, and the thing is I don't care, because the game Halo 1 and then 2 and then 3 and then 4 and then 5 are all sequential, but Halo Reach was a flashback before Halo 1. Like, okay. The end of Reach, yes, is the beginning of Halo 1.
Right. Yeah. I knew
which
that.
Which is awesome. Okay. Right. So that was kind of a cool game, and none of us experienced that, but you were playing as a Spartan, but not the Master Chief. That was the only game you didn't play as the Master Chief. The thing is that the stories were just so good. The music, everything about those games were so good that it's like, okay, if they're going to make a Halo series, you've got to either kind of stay true to the story, like Lord of the Rings, or you have to tell a different story
that ties in with the canon.
Exactly.
Right.
Or you got to do a prequel that ties in with the canon.
So,
and they didn't do that. They changed the story too much. And that's what I didn't like, is that why change an almost exceptional story? Why change? And honestly, this story wasn't not as good.
It just why indeed?
Played, yeah.
So why didn't they? I wonder if it was just legalese BS, you know?
Well, and Keys was piloting the Pillar of Autumn, which took the Master Chief to the Halo. But in the show, he dies early, which that was weird, because Halsey's still alive, but she dies in the games early. And then the Flood and other things, you know, that are in the games and all that, there's completely different timing of when the Flood arrives versus what they've been trying to do with the TV show and stuff. And so there's so many, they just changed everything. Whatever, right? It is what it is.
It is.
But I think, and again, I don't even mind if stories are changed if they're really, really good. And I thought the stories were just okay compared to the games. And the other thing that kind of bothered me was there were a lot of characters in this show that were not in the video games, which is totally fine. Mm.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite characters in the video games, which maybe he'll be in season 3, was he's the sergeant. He's the guy that talks like this. All right, Marines, come on.
You know? I really doubt it.
Oh my gosh. He was probably like one of my favorite characters in the entire series, because he had the best one-liners. He was so awesome. There were a lot of characters in this that just felt like, why? Why are they here? There's all this backstory of these characters that's just not that interesting.
I see.
I don't know where they're going with it. They weren't bad, but it was just kind of like, eh.
Well, I fully understand your perspective now. You were much more immersed in the lore, and I was not at all. So,
but I was also just looking for a good show too. And I just kind of felt like it was okay. And it was a slow burn. But you know, you're right. That last episode was good. And there were a lot of fun things. And I was kind of like, okay, well, this was what I was waiting for all season 2, was the final 1 minute of season 2. I just wish they had started season 2 kind of at that point. Like, okay, episode 1, the fall of Reach. Episode 2, they go to the Halo, and the rest of the season is all about Halo and, you know, meeting the monitor, the 343 Guilty Spark, you know, all that. It's like, oh, I want to go there. You know, well, they didn't go there. So whatever. But the other thing that I kind of had a problem with, maybe they're trying to reflect, you know, current society and all that. I don't know, but there
was silly in sci-fi, but go ahead.
It is, because this is in 2552 or something like that. There was a lot of angst with the government. A lot. You know, they blamed the government for all this. They were disrespecting their leaders. They weren't following orders, you know. Huh. It's just making the leaders look stupid and all that. There was dissension. There was some corruption in the government, you know, and you saw a lot of that. In all of the games that I've played personally, there was none of that. It was all about honor,
more
bravery, respect, obeying orders. It was a unified front against, like, humanity had unified against the alien threats.
Right.
And I loved that. And that was something, and it gives you hope. It makes you feel good. But no. We've just got to be all pissed off at the government and all the leaders, and everybody's all, I'm just like, why?
But I get it.
Why did you
get why they did that? I get it though, because there's just not enough. They needed the drama. That's why.
But they didn't, because in the video games, it felt so good. It was giving us hope. Like there's,
I see your point. I see your point, but I also understand why they did that. And it didn't bug me because I liked the drama. You see things that I don't in these things. So that's why it's a good discussion.
Well, so one more thing that was very interesting to me is that in the video games, the Master Chief and Cortana relationship really, really developed in a very powerful way. In fact, a lot of people talked about that this was kind of one of the more interesting relationships in any kind of a game was between a, he's genetically engineered or enhanced or whatever. He's sort of a cyborg kind of, anyway, he's human though, with a relationship with a human and an AI. And it was this game came out in 2001. So it was very much ahead of its time. Just an incredible relationship that developed over the games.
Yeah.
And it's not something you could force. It happened. It was a very charming relationship development. And there was none of that in the show at all, because she was kind of off doing her own thing and he's doing his own thing. And then they come together.
Yeah. They were separated for a while too. So
yeah. And he's like, well, why are you going after, you know, essentially why are you going after Cortana? And he goes, you wouldn't understand. I'm like, yeah, because the writers couldn't figure out how to write it. I was really, really disappointed in that relationship because it's so much deeper and more powerful in the games than it even came close to in the show.
I totally understand your perspective now. And you have really valid points. I mean,
I know I got really nerd out deep on that. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. That was great. That was much better insight than I provided because I wasn't ready for this review, to be honest. But my opinion of the season one was okay. I enjoyed it, but season two I enjoyed a lot more. And that's really all I can say about it.
No, I really did too. I guess I just wasn't sucked in as much, you know, but here's the thing. We're all different. So Martin and I were talking about this and you know, episode one of Fallout, I was sucked right in. I think you were too.
Episode one. Yes.
He was falling asleep in episode one and not interested at all.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And see my episode two was my,
oh yeah.
Oh my God. Don't do this. You guys don't do this. So and then they pulled out of their nosedive, but
and it went better. And he goes, well, okay, I'll try episode two. And he goes, this sucks. I'm like, no, episode two did suck. That was the problem, but oh well. But the problem, you know, the thing is we all love things so differently.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is. And so, you know, if I had never played the Halo games to the extent that I played them, I'm sure I would have loved it because it is good sci-fi.
Yeah.
But it wasn't nearly as good as what was originally written and created with the games. The games were genius level. And this was in my opinion, it paled in comparison, even though it was still fine.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think it also shows that writing has gone downhill in general. And I think we're seeing that more and more lately. Then you get surprised periodically with some, oh, that was really good. Wow.
Yeah, once in a while. Yeah.
But it's been... Well, so here's some good writing for you. Here's a positive thing. I'm only halfway through, I think. Maybe not even halfway through. I think I'm like a third of the way through of season three of Star Wars, The Bad Batch.
Okay.
Dave Filoni, animated. Phenomenal, dude. It's people talk about, oh, Star Wars surprised. Died after the prequels. You're right. No, but the animateds are good.
It didn't die because Dave Filoni was involved. And whoever wrote Andor, God bless them. I can't wait for Andor season two. When's that coming out?
I don't know, but
it better.
Check out Bad Batch. It's good. It's charming. It's fun. It's good character development. It's great.
You finally got me to pick up Rebels and it was so amazing.
I know.
I was so happy with that.
It's
I'm not a cartoon guy anymore.
Neither am I.
And that show was so good.
Yeah.
So,
okay, really quickly, and I know we're going to go soon because we're going to go get Himalayan food. This is our tradition. We record an episode. We go get Himalayan and we see our favorite weight person ever.
Savannah. She wasn't there last time we were there.
Wait, no, she was.
Last time I was there, she was not. Oh,
she was there when we were there last, but yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope she's there because if not, then I'm going to probably start a riot. Because
if, you know, they always take like an hour to get you your naan bread that you order.
Yeah.
That we order. And if Savannah's there, it's okay.
True.
I won't be as upset.
Because we could just talk to her. We could be like, do you have any liquid death for free? Because we could use that.
And we can bother her about the naan. Like, hey, Savannah, it's been 30 minutes.
Yeah.
What's going on?
There's naan.
Hey, Savannah, it's been an hour.
There's naan.
Where's your naan? Why is it so hard to make bread?
I want naan now.
Deep Thoughts with Captain Influence.
If I high-five someone online, could I get their cooties? I've wondered that since way before the internet.
That is a great question.
I know. Like deep, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what if I got...
Does Caffeinatrix have cooties?
Well, probably.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
Have you seen her?
Not in 5 years.
But...
Oh, no! Dude, thanks for being here, man. Keep my shuttle here. Thanks for listening. Real Brian Show signing off. Woo!
The Real Brian Show is a production of 514 Media at 514mediaempire.com.